It's been said the reason there's so many men in Alaska is because of the quality of the Alaskan women. We figure the reason the Beach Boys sang about California girls is they never met an Alaska woman. There's something unique about Alaska women, like Alaska itself. Beautiful, untamed, and independent. Alaska women are adventurous and bold. They're capable and grounded. They're compassionate and supportive. But they can be downright fierce. Like a wolverine, although not a large animal, you don't want to get sideways with one. Such is a woman our show is dedicated, Kathleen K. Carmody, or Kathy as we all called her. After getting her teaching degree at the University of Montana, Kathy packed everything she had in a 1960 Ford Coronado and came to Alaska to teach. A year later, I'd be sitting in her ninth grade English class at Central Junior High and would develop a close relationship that would last for over 50 years and change my life and thousands of other lives forever. Kathy was an educator, an award-winning principal, a medal-winning champion chorus director, a vocal and performance coach, twice president of Sweet Adeline's International, and a longtime Sweet Adeline's International board member, and touched thousands of lives, including mine, to set us on a path that was not a hobby, but a lifestyle, and would introduce me to wonderful friends at the local, national, and international level. So join us as we meet some of these remarkable people that I, and you, would have missed had it not been for Kathy Carmody. Kathy may have come from Montana and her life to end in Colorado, but to us, she'll always be an Alaska woman. And welcome to the Big Alaska Show.
It's time to think big with Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and No Good Lying Through Your Tooth, Tall Alaska Tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Coming to you from the studios of AM 750, KFQD, and 103.7 FM, and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Stevenson, Big Alaska Show friends. It's our special edition Big Alaska Show tribute to Kathy Carmody. Featuring special guest appearances of local and national barbershop and acapella enthusiasts. Plus, we're playing a Tall Alaska Tale. Designed to raise your spirits and not your blood pressure. Good morning, everybody. It's the Big Alaska Show.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. Uncle Steve here with my good buddy and co-host, Mike Ford. Good morning, Mike Ford.
Welcome to November, Uncle Steve.
November.
Yes.
I was just thinking about that. The shortest day is December 21st, right?
Yes, it is. We're almost there.
We're like 40-something days away before the shortest day. We've got 40 times... What do we lose, 3 to 4 minutes a day?
Yeah. October was the biggest month for daylight lost. I think we had 3 hours and something. It starts to slow down dramatically now as we get closer to the shortest.
Oh, it's feeling dark now.
Yeah.
So we're 40-something days away from the darkest time, and then we start building back up.
Yes.
Now, tomorrow is our time change, right? Sunday?
Correct.
Okay.
We're going to fall back, get an extra hour. But you'd wonder, you know, with all the ice, how come we're not falling forward? I don't know.
And then there's that.
I got my snow tires on. I'm good to go. Got my studded tires on. And it's funny how just by having that happen, it just gives you that sense of there's so few things we feel like we have control of in life. But having just a little bit more control when you're going down the highway gives you just a little, you know, just a little peace of mind.
It makes you just want to hit that accelerator that much faster.
Yes.
For those who are not in the state of Alaska, not used to driving in snow conditions, studded tires, they make a huge difference. And even if you've got good snow tires, studded tires rock. And it makes a lot of sense to have the best tires during the worst time of weather. Good for you, man. Well,
yeah. It's a good feeling.
Good feelings are what we're all about here in the Big Alaska Show. We got an announcement from Viper. We're going to be doing a major announcement of it on Veterans Day, which will air part of that next week on the Big Alaska Show. Veterans Day falls in between this Saturday and next Saturday.
Right.
Kyle Kaiser, the Viper president. Viper stands for Veteran Internships Providing Employment Readiness, and they do the transition from military into civilian through training and giving them a lot of support around that. They just made a huge announcement. They've had a private donation, basically.
Nice.
That's big.
Wow.
And Kyle just posted on their LinkedIn. He said, never quit. If there is any advice to ever give someone, it is never to quit. I could not be more pleased to announce the first project to be done in partnership with Viper will be commencing next spring. We will be bringing in veterans to work on this project to build new hard stands, a warehouse, and MRO facilities at Ted Stevens International Airport. He says, we'll create the opportunities needed for veterans to transition to careers. You know the kind of hangar they have like for FedEx, that real big
right.
one?
Yeah.
They're building one of those. And it's going to be all done by Viper veterans. That facility will be for like Polar and Atlas, you know, those big planes that don't have one like FedEx does and UPS. And I'll get more information next week on it because we'll do interviews about it. I mean, it's a couple million bucks worth of business.
That is fantastic. So when they have the ceremony, and you know how they always have the oversized check that's presented
yeah.
at these ceremonies. What we've got to do, though, so that it continues to look like a big check, we've got to have there's a depth thing we've got to work on with Gary. We'll have Gary take 12 big steps back and hold his arms out, right? And then the check will still seem big.
Yeah.
Because if Gary gets it, it's going to look like a regular check. Because otherwise, it's not going to have the impact it would visually.
No.
If we were doing a reenactment of Jack and the Beanstalk, and then you have Gary there coming down the vine, you know, he's a big guy with big ideas.
Yes. No, it works. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the fact that Kyle Kaiser, the president, has announced this, we're going to be doing some interviews next week about this, and it'll be a little after Veterans Day, but, you know, same vein of it. So
that is super exciting.
Just people know Viper, one of their main focuses, the N22 epidemic of suicides with our military veterans, which, by the way, since this pandemic has gone up 66%. This is a major, major step forward for Viper, and we're just going to keep championing that. The other thing is I just had a discussion with Annette Vrolik, who's the senior development manager for the American Cancer Society up here, and Casey Warner, who is heading the Polar Bear Jump Off in Seward for 2022, a big fundraiser that they have in Seward and where we started 15 years ago. Casey replaced Polar Bear Maryland. I mean, Maryland carried it for 30 something years.
Wow.
Casey's a big fan of Polar Bear Maryland and very honored to carry on that tradition. But they gave us an update of what's going on, the jumpers, the events, that kind of thing. And we will keep building up towards it because January 15th, 2022, Mike, is our 15th anniversary.
Wow.
And they've invited us to be back to MC it and make a big deal out of it. But we'll have them with an update for next week. Plus, got an update with Christy Bond Hill, one of the major fundraisers that's jumped every year. And her story's hilarious, like the Big Alaska Show start, how she got started in it and has continued being one of the top fundraisers for the Polar Bear Jump Off. But today's show is a reprise of a show we did two or three years ago with Kathy Carmody. And she was my ninth grade English teacher that was a very major emotional support after my dad died. She would later on become the director of our barbershop chorus. And she was also Sweet Adeline International president. Anyway, she got me involved in barbershop, took me to my first competition, and then that grew into this passion. And I ended up being a webcast host for three international competitions. And in that, I would meet a lot of people at the international level. And so we did a little tribute to Kathy Carmody. We want to play that again for a couple of reasons. One, we've been getting ready in our barbershop chorus to go out and sing caroling. And
well, the other reason is how it all ties together. And what she gave you, you've given and passed along your love of music. You know, when you think about the Pipeline Vocal Project and your connection with those guys and just bringing up all the great training you brought up for the high school kids, it never would have got that if you hadn't been an integral part of putting that together. And that was all born of her her introducing you to the music that you've come to love.
But see, this is why it's so good to have you. I didn't even think of that, man. You are the dude. You're my agent.
Yes, I'm your muse.
It's really cool to go back and listen to this. We caught some audio of her teaching a class, and she cracked the whip. I mean, she was a little fire plug and developed championship courses, not with the Midnight Suns, but she did a lot with us.
How much time did you spend in the hall when you were in ninth grade in English class?
I do remember one hall event. I'll always remember at Central Junior High, if you're walking along the hall and the classes are on your either side of you, you know, lockers, that kind of stuff, about 3 feet from the top were glass. The janitors had a little ladder that was on wheels that when they went to change things, and it would roll around, and when they stood on it, it would stabilize, and they could climb up and change something. Me and Steve Kirschbaum, I had him up on top of it, and I was pushing this down the hallway, and he was waving to the girls in that classroom. Can you imagine? You're sitting in class, you look up, and here comes Steve Kirschbaum sailing by. And you know how they have those little sprinklers they have for sprinkler alarm? And then he hits his head, it knocks him off.
It's amazing it didn't set off the sprinklers.
It's amazing he lived.
I know.
I was actually a pretty good student for her. It was when in high school I started getting the bad attitude. And Senora Wilson, my Spanish teacher at West High School, would grab me by my ear. She was about 4 feet tall, and she would grab me by my ear and take me down to the principal office.
You were a naughty hombre.
Anyway, this show is a reprise of Kathy Carmody and a real tribute and a shout out to all of our educators, because the things they have to go through now, especially now, is just amazing. We think about Shannon Ferris, Mike Ferris, her Deadliest Catch Mythbusters wife, and she's a second grade teacher and just a fantastic. She's one of those that her students will remember her. Hey, we got a fun packed show. But of course, Mike, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the big last show out the right way.
Yeah, they won't allow this in school.
Folks, the key to doing an early morning radio show, especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And there's no stronger cup of Joe than Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. That's why it's preferred coffee for teachers. Teachers have to get up early, earlier than humanly possible. Not only that, they have to get up and think earlier than humanly possible. Enter Big Alaska Show Blend to the rescue. Just one sip of this caffeine-packed pile of dirt sends a jolt of energy that turns that dull brain pan into a synapses-fired supercomputer to prepare teacher plans and enough energy to put the boot to the backside of the unparented and their parents. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt. Big Alaska Show Blend. Intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Pour me a cup. It's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup.
Today is our Big Alaska Show tribute to Kathy Carmody. It's a woman who trailblazed the Alaska Women's Barbershop and set the foundation for Alaska Women's Acapella. And Uncle Steve, she was a very special woman in your life.
She was my ninth grade English teacher at Central Junior High and a very emotional support after my dad died. And then years later was our director of Midnight Suns Chorus. And she took me to my first competition, opened up the entire barbershop international world to me. And so the people we're interviewing today are people that we've met along the way that we would never have met if it hadn't been for Kathy Carmody. And here's a little clip of Kathy doing one of her little a cappella workshops to give you a little insight of how she was.
I've been a sweet Adeline since 1968. Some of you weren't born then. And it was a very different organization at that time. But we've evolved. If you listen to some of the old recordings, you go, that one. We have come so far in our vocal production and the way that we see our music and the way that we promote our music. I'm a good person for attitude. I had a little company that I was running up as a professional speaker, and the name of my company was Light Attitudes. So be ready for that.
going down. Excuse me.
Do you like that exercise? That bubble thing?
Do you like it?
That's what it looks like. Get over this. We got somebody here that's going to help us sing, so could we just get past this crap? You know, that's what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing anybody that says, I'm getting ready to be a singer. I want to see that. I want you to look like a singer even before you sing. Everybody just you know about the monkey person performer? You know about that?
Yeah.
Everybody look like a monkey. Come on. All right, now be a person. Now be a singer. Now have them sing. I'm coming after you.
I'll be in present.
Come on.
Sweet Adeline since 1977, and she was the assistant director of the Sourdough Chorus when I joined. Yeah.
As Sweet Adeline, what impact in your life has Kathy Carmody had on you?
Oh, gosh. She has given me some of my most extremes in my Sweet Adeline life, from the highest highs to the lowest lows. We were just always so proud of her. I mean, we knew in our little chorus what a talent and what a gift she was, and we did not know that gift was so large it could be shared with the whole organization. And it was when we got a coach from who was on the international board who saw her and recognized that this is a star. This is a shooting star in the dark sky, and Bev Sellers, and she got Kathy involved at the international level. So Kathy went from being involved at the chorus level right to the international level. She skipped the whole regional thing. And the things that she did for Sweet Adeline, she was such a forward thinker. She moved us beyond where we were, and was a two-time international president. She was probably on every committee you could be on. She was just incredible. You know, she almost never slept, literally. And she had only one clock in her entire house. This is back in the day when people had clocks, you know, real clocks, was not set at the right time. She would get up at oh dark 30 and work on this and work on that, and she was always fooling herself about what the real time was, because, you know, when you get 3 hours of sleep a night, you don't really want to know that you're just getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night. She was amazing. She was just amazing. Just a bright bulb, and taken way too soon. She should be in her 90s on a rocking chair listening to Barbershop somewhere. I'm just so sorry we've lost her.
This is a special edition of the Big Alaska Show, where we're honoring Kathy Carmody and the people whose lives she touched. And another one who's pretty darn famous, Uncle Steve.
Yeah, Deke Sharon is called the godfather of modern a cappella, and he came up to work with the Alaska Sound Celebration Women's Chorus up here that Kathy used to direct. This is an interview of him right before he came up. He's the guy with the sing-off and pitch perfect, so let's roll it. Our guest, Deke Sharon, is known to many who are a cappella fans. Or you may be familiar with some of Deke's work, such as the popular films Pitch Perfect 1, 2, and 3, as well as the NBC popular series, The Sing-Off. Deke's work is prolific. Please give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Deke Sharon.
Hello. I feel like there should be an Alaska word like aloha that's specific to Alaska. Do you guys have any?
Yeah, we do. It's what up?
Okay, what up it is.
Now, when you describe barbershop versus contemporary a cappella, how do you describe it, Deke?
The easiest way to describe it is that 100 years ago, people sang contemporary a cappella, and now we call it barbershop. 50 years ago, people call it doo-wop, and so on. Stylistically, the difference is that 100 years ago, the barbershop style really was four singers. The second from the highest voice is the one that has the melody. And they sing a lot of words together at the same time. Homophony is the technical term for it. But you may think of it as the way that people sing hymns when everybody is singing, you know, joy to the world, a Christmas carol that basically is a hymn. They're all singing those words at the same time. And that's kind of what, you know, barbershop is. Through the doo-wop tradition where people made up kind of silly syllables in the back of the blah, 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 ba-dang-a-dang-dang, or the bum, bum, bum. The bass singer was kind of imitating a bass instrument, but was still very vocal. And the background shooby-doo-wops were kind of acting as rhythmic instruments, but they were still very vocal. And then the lead singer would come out and step out in front and have a real freedom. And now when you get to the contemporary a cappella style, you've got a bass singer who sounds like an electric bass. You've got a vocal percussionist who's creating an entire drum kit with their mouth. You've got background singers in a group that are leaping between singing harmonies and sounding like other instruments and creating all these other textures. And then, of course, you've got that lead singer who's out front. And there are times when that group can also snap into singing chords and harmonies like barbershop or like hymns, of course. The easiest example to present nowadays is a group like Pentatonix who jump around between different styles and different techniques of singing, all the while being super wonderful and compelling.
You called barbershop the black belt of a cappella. What do you mean by that?
So in the same way that studying a martial art can be very effective and powerful, a person getting in touch with their own body and understanding their breathing and their rhythm and their muscles and their posture and their poise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the techniques necessary to be able to sing in perfect tune with other singers, it's akin to flying in tight formation like the Blue Angels, if you've ever seen them fly.
Oh, absolutely,
those,
yeah.
Aerial shows where you have these planes flying in tight formation together. It's not necessary to sing barbershop. It's not necessarily, you know, that you have a barbershop education to be a great singer and a great harmony singer. But if you have sung barbershop, you will be much better because you'll understand so many more things about matching your voice to others and ringing chords and whatnot. So that's kind of why I liken experience singing in a barbershop group to studying a martial art.
That makes sense.
Vocally.
Yeah. Because, you know, for the longest time, barbershop to me, and I was raised around it, it was amateurs teaching amateurs to be amateurs. And, you know, and since then, there's been so much advancement in teaching people supported sound and, you know, the growth of this. And you, of all people, have experienced that. I wish you were sitting here because we could talk about how things have evolved over times and your own experience. One of the things that happened, I was a webcast co-host for Three Internationals, and one of them was in Los Angeles. Conan O'Brien came in, and he said, interview me, and he was there really just to mock us. You know, he was trying to do a little satire on it. But what was interesting was I watched him change, and he started hanging around some of these guys who were pretty good, and you could see him going, man, that's better than I thought it was.
Right.
So,
well, yeah, of course. This whole image that the public has of barbershoppers being these dorky white guys with vests and straw hats, most people don't realize that there are even more women who sing barbershop than men, and that barbershop was traditionally an African-American style of music. It was for black guys getting together and singing. That's something that we've lost an understanding of in our culture. It was cool, and it was hip, and it was, you know, rhythmic, and it was, you know, playful, and in a lot of ways, you'd be better off thinking of the Mills Brothers
right.
as a barbershop group. So this whole notion that the general public has of barbershop and also that it's amateurs getting together and singing, which I think is fine. You know, sometimes people discount amateur music or amateur art or whatever. And yet the French word amour is at the root of the word amateur. It means love. And when an amateur ensemble performs well with all of their hearts,
yeah.
it can be far more compelling than a professional performance. I've seen many amateurs that I would, right among the greatest performances I've ever seen. So there's a lot going on now, particularly in the barbershop world, that people just don't realize. And yet, when they hear it and they see it, they go, wow, their mind's blown.
I wanted to talk to you about Pitch Perfect, what the audition process was. Is it better to go get actors and teach them to sing barbershop or to get barbershoppers and teach them to act? So I was just curious what the audition process was for Pitch Perfect and what that experience was like for you to work with actors and teaching singing.
I was worried and skeptical, too. In fact, the first month of a cappella boot camp, which is what we call that kind of pre-production time for Pitch Perfect, was the most harrowing work experience I've ever had in my life because We had one ringer that we brought over from the sing-off, and she was a delight, but she was only one of 10 singers. And as you know, from having sung inside chords, it really only takes one person to be off to throw off the whole thing. Well, when you're doing 10-part harmony with 10 singers and only one of them's ever sung a cappella before, and the other nine never even really sang choir in high school, and you have to get them to blend beautifully and become the greatest collegiate a cappella women's group of all time, and you have only a month to do it in,
oh, wow.
You lose a lot of sleep. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really tough. And the all guys group, the Troublemakers, a lot of them were kind of backfilled with, well, first of all, the two leads came from Broadway. We had Skylar Astin, you know, who was in, you know, big musical there, on Broadway. And then of course, Ben Platt, who, is Dear Evan Hansen, right? I mean, like maybe the biggest name after Lin-Manuel Miranda in Broadway, you know, the past 5 years.
Yeah.
So these guys were immensely talented, and then we backfilled with a lot of singers from local college a cappella groups. So give me these guys, give me mediocre college a cappella singers who haven't had a lot of experience, I can whip them into shape no problem. The Barton Bellas were specifically cast to be this real motley crew, this incredibly diverse range of people with different backgrounds and voices and styles and ways of pronouncing words and everything. And yet somehow, I don't know, I cashed in all my big karma chips, the stars aligned, the sun came up from behind the clouds the day before we started filming. And I mean, I'll be honest, I thought the movie was going direct to DVD. It was a small budget film, small movie studio, you know, Universal distributed, but it only opened in a few theaters. Like it wasn't, nobody expected it to do what it did. I'm glad it happened. Could I make it happen again with 10 other actresses? I have a lot of faith in my ability, but I don't know. What was exciting was kind of halfway to that world when making the first ever all a cappella musical on Broadway, we cast Broadway people, not a cappella people. And the thing that was interesting is by casting really good singers with great ears, great tuning, and an ability to sing harmony, I was able to make them, whip them into an a cappella group that sounded like no other group because they have those kind of like bright, pingy, over-enunciated Broadway sound. And that worked out great. But also, I think I knew more how to do that after having made the first Pitch Perfect.
Sure.
Anyway, it was a wild ride, and here we are.
Kathy was my first coach. She was my first director and my first coach. And so she was very encouraging, and she was just... One of my favorite stories about Kathy was when I came in for my first family night, and I had gone to the hairdresser that day, and this is when we had to do our hair, like, really huge. And I walked in, late because my hairdresser took forever, and Kathy was standing in front of the chorus, and she turned around as I walked in through the door, and then she turned back around, and I found out later that she was like, "Who the hell is that?" And she didn't recognize me. So that's my favorite story. And then the other favorite story is we used to go down to her cabin in Hope, a whole bunch of us, when we were all in the chorus together. And the tradition was to smoke cigars. And I had never smoked a cigar before. And so she was like, I said, "Well, I don't know what to do with this." "Well, you just bite the end off." And I was like, "Okay." And she's like, "Just bite the end off." So I go to bite the end off, and I end up biting like practically half of it off. And she goes, "I have never met anybody who flunked cigar." So those are some of my fondest memories of Kathy. And she was very inspirational in my life. And if it weren't for her, I probably wouldn't be here today.
Today it's our Big Alaska Show tribute to Kathy Carmody and the world of music here in Alaska and around the world, because she was on the international barbershop stage for quite a few years, Uncle Steve. And one of my favorite interviews that we did a while back was a guy who actually has been with another legend in music.
Yeah.
And that was Dick Van Dyke, but it was Mike Mendyke that came up.
Yeah, Mike Mendyke sings bass for the Vantastics, Dick Van Dyke's quartet. And we met him at an international competition, and we got him on the show, and he told us how he met Dick.
Our next guest, I believe, is coming to us from Oregon. We like to invite tourists to Alaska, and so we thought we'd invite Mike Mendyke, whom I met this summer during the International Barbershop Harmony Society competition in Anaheim. Mike sings with a quartet called the Vantastics, named after actor and entertainer Dick Van Dyke. Would you please give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Mike Mendyke? Hey!
Oh, my goodness. Hello, hello.
Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. Now, where are you at now?
I am in the great state of Oregon, outside of Portland.
Okay. You've hit on a beautiful day here in Alaska, and we got a number of people in the barbershop community. I told them you're going to be one of our guests. And
oh, very good.
So they're all excited. You know, you and I met at the Barbershop Harmony Society competition in Anaheim. And
we sure did.
And you sing with Dick Van Dyke and the Vantastics. And tell us a little bit about your quartet. What kind of style would you say it is?
It has sort of some of its roots in barbershop and in close harmony. The harmony is an essential component to what we do, but I wouldn't call us traditional barbershoppers in terms of what the society actually tries to promote. We do more big band era and standards, which are musical styles that Dick Van Dyke is really a big fan. So a lot of children's songs, a lot of standards like Pick Yourself Up or High Hopes, Accentuate the Positive, just family-friendly, uplifting songs everyone can enjoy.
Yeah, in fact, when you guys came into the webcast, I was very fortunate to be one of the webcast co-hosts, is I was able to express to him how fortunate and how much I appreciate family entertainment. It's really interesting because the same stuff that worked when he was growing up is the same stuff that works today, and it's probably the same thing you're happy to take your family to, Mike.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm just so thrilled and delighted to have the opportunity to work with him regularly and perform for so many people and families.
Let's talk just a little bit about opportunities, because I love how you met Dick Van Dyke. Tell us about that.
Well, my background is in both music and in the sciences, and I actually have a degree in aerospace engineering from MIT. So I've found myself between coasts over the years, and I happened to be working in Malibu for a production company doing some consulting work, and I bumped into Dick Van Dyke in a Malibu Starbucks. And with my background in music and my background in barbershop, the first words out of my mouth were, "Hey, you're Dick Van Dyke," which he's heard before. He laughed and said, "Yes, I am." And the second words out of my mouth were, "I understand you're a big fan of barbershop." And he got this silly grin on his face, as only he can, and said, "Oh, I do. I really do. Are you a barbershopper too?" And I said, "Of course I am." And we got to talking about singing and a cappella and close harmony. And the next thing I knew, we were talking about putting a group together. A few weeks later, there I was, sitting in Dick Van Dyke's living room, hanging out around the piano, drinking Coke, eating pizza, and singing songs.
I was hoping you were going to say, "You're Dick Van Dyke," and I was hoping he would say something like, "And you're no rocket scientist."
Yeah, exactly.
Which you could actually say, "Actually, I am."
Oh, boy. Yeah, I think every a cappella group needs to have at least one rocket scientist.
It cracks me up. You're an MIT graduate. You're a former NASA engineer with degrees in aerospace and engineering and music. I got to tell you, Mike, I'm over here thinking, I wonder if being a box boy at Safeway counts.
Absolutely.
As a NASA engineer, had you always been interested in space and stuff like that?
Oh, I've been interested in space since I was a little kid. I've got pictures of me as a toddler being held in front of the television set with the moon landing being shown, just so that, you know, I can prove to the world I was alive and I was there in some capacity, sharing it with the rest of the world on television. And I grew up loving math and the sciences, and I started my first a cappella group in fourth grade, a barbershop quartet.
Yeah.
But my dad told me, "Mike, you'll always have music there for you. Whatever you want to do in life, go get a degree in math or engineering, and then you've got your music to fall back on." And that's what I did. I went and I got my degree. I worked for NASA. I worked for the defense industry for about 8 or 9 years. And then I was moonlighting with a contemporary a cappella group called 5 o'clock Shadow. And we got more and more gigs and got busier and busier, and I was taking more and more sick days and vacation days until it became obvious that my destiny lie in music, and I quit the engineering business and went into music.
Did you want to be an astronaut growing up?
I did, but somehow I just didn't have, I guess I didn't have the right stuff.
What part do you sing?
I sing bass.
Aha, aha.
Although I've been known to sing baritone and known to sing lead, and in fact, when we do Light a Rose, Dick didn't want to learn the lead part. He likes singing the bass part for that, so they threw me on the lead. So I give it my best. And actually, the group has three basses and one tenor, so the arrangements can be rather interesting at times. Fortunately, our friend Eric Bradley, the other bass, also has a wonderful countertenor, so he's often up in the stratosphere. And then our friend Brian Chatima is our token tenor.
You've got so much talent. We're talking with Mike Mendyke, who's sings with Dick Van Dyke's quartet, the Vantastics. Who are the other members of your group, and a little bit about each one of those, Mike?
Well, sure. Eric Bradley is a fellow from Connecticut, and he moved to Los Angeles pretty much about the same time I did. And his background is entirely in music and film. And he is a regular studio singer in L.A. You've heard him in the background choirs in the soundtracks for The Simpsons movie, Spider-Man 3, Enchanted, The Polar Express, the latest Indiana Jones film. So that's his bread and butter. And then he actually sings with an a cappella group, a jazz a cappella group called Sixth Wave. I can't recommend them highly enough. They're fantastic, fantastic sextet. And he's the bass for Sixth Wave, and he's really something. We're glad to have him with us. And the other fella is Brian Chatima, another musician born. He was born in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and he's a writer, a musical director, a arranger, and he's performed with us all these years. And he's directed a few shows here in L.A. and is releasing his own solo album later this fall. So. It's an amazing group of people, and of course we've got Dick Van Dyke, who everyone knows from the Dick Van Dyke Show and Mary Poppins and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and most recently he was in that Night of the Museum movie.
Isn't it wonderful to sing with a guy that's 83 years, and I say young because, as Dick Van Dyke says, he never grew up. When my wife said to him, I grew up watching you, he said, well, that's funny. He says, I never grew up.
Mm-hmm.
The guy has moves. You guys, I got to tell you, Mike, all three of you guys, young men, are all sweating bullets. And he's over there just dancing. Just the guy's got steps, man.
He absolutely does. He is hard to keep up with. It's amazing sometimes. You go over and watch it. What in the world? How are you doing that? But he works out every morning, and he has a smile on his face every time I see him. He's just the most charming, most delightful man to work with. And Brian, Eric, and I are all so incredibly fortunate to have this wonderful experience.
What kind of venues do you guys sing at?
Well, we've pretty much stuck with benefit concerts and charity events, but we've performed at the Hollywood Bowl once for an evening of TV theme songs, and we've done a number of ballrooms. We sang at the Midnight Mission, one of the nice missions down in Skid Row in Los Angeles, on Thanksgiving. Actually, they feed thousands and thousands of the homeless folks down there every day, and they do a great big Thanksgiving celebration where they block off a whole street, and they have bands playing there all day. And Dick invited the three of us down to spend the day helping and volunteering, and we got up and sang to help entertain folks there.
You guys seem to do a lot of charity type of focus.
Oh, absolutely, and that's very important to all of us. I mean, we're doing this for the love and for the fun. We're not making, you know, this isn't a business for the four of us. You know, Dick's got his movies and his television appearances and things. He doesn't need to make money making CDs. That's low-level stuff. And as I said before, the three of us are just delighted to have the chance to sing whenever he calls us up or sends us an email. Hey, guys, there's an opportunity to go sing for the Society of Singers. They're giving an award to Julie Andrews. Let's go sing for her. And what am I going to do? Say I need to see the money first? Of course not.
You women are so knowledgeable.
that Mike and I were so impressed, we thought we'd play one of our all-time favorite games called
Tall Alaskan Tales.
Oh, my
goodness. Tall Alaskan Tales. No good lying through your tooth. Tall Alaskan Tales.
And the way we play this is we're going to play it, and you tell us if you think it's a truth or a no good lying through your tooth tall Alaskan tale. And, Mike, why don't you go ahead and, as soon as you find that, just push the button there. Here we go.
Sweet Adeline's International was established in 1945 by Edna Mae Anderson of Tulsa, Oklahoma. The aim was to teach and train its members in music and to create and promote barbershop quartets and other musical groups. She gathered a group of women who wanted to participate in the chord-ringing, fun-filled harmony that their husbands, members of the Men's Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America, SPEBSQUSA is what it was called, were singing. SPEBSQUSA has since changed its name to the Barbershop Harmony Society. However, the women were not fooled by that. The fact that men changed their barbershop organization's name didn't matter. Even the men know you can run, but you can't hide. But perhaps the strangest part of this tale took place when Edna Mae Anderson's niece, Lois, followed a young serviceman to Alaska. Lois was very enterprising, and the land of the last frontier was the perfect place for her to land. Although Lois couldn't sing as well as her Aunt Edna, she did bring to Alaska skills she developed in the backwoods of Oklahoma. Lois could spit a wad of tobacco from 30 feet away with great accuracy. Lois eventually left Alaska, moved to Brownsville, Texas, where she formed the quartet Bucksnort, which won the first annual Brownsville Barley Beer Fart Festival. Is this the truth? Or a no-good lying through your tooth tall Alaska tale?
Where'd we get this?
I don't know, but that's still my favorite of all time.
I'm sorry we do this to you. So we'll start with Peggy, out of respect for your position. What do you think? Is this the truth? You've seen melodramas.
I think it's a fib.
A fib. Gee, Merry Christmas.
I do.
Oh, listen.
There's parts of it that might be true.
very few parts.
Which
of it.
Parts?
Well,
yeah.
You know, being able to spit the tobacco, that takes a lot of air pressure.
Yes.
So, you know, that she could be a singer.
That could be a qualifying, you know.
Yeah, for the...
where you blow through it.
Just start writing a little note during that. Hey, maybe we can...
Yeah. Jan, of course, you being the great barbershop.
How many times have we played this for you, Jan?
For dozens.
Yeah, well, you know, if I factor that out, the answer is still the same from when I first heard it.
Yeah,
it's a no good lying through your teeth, tall Alaska.
In fact,
tale.
It's Jan lying through your teeth, Matthews.
You're listening to a special tribute on the Big Alaska Show to Kathy Carmody. Now, she didn't just teach here, did she, Uncle Steve? She went to Colorado in the latter part of her life and taught a bunch of ladies there and took them to the international level, too.
Yeah. Kathy directed the Velvet Hills Chorus in Colorado Springs, and just like every place else she was, she made them a championship contender.
And she had a very close friend there. Who was that?
She was the assistant director of the Velvet Hills Chorus, Deb Kirkendall.
I'm Deb Kirkendall, and I sing in the Velvet Hills Chorus, and I sing tenor. I'm the tenor section leader and assistant director.
How long did you know Kathy?
I've known Kathy about 19 years, well, 20. She came here, she was international president, and she decided to direct her chorus. And I just really was amazed. At first, you're kind of in awe that this person that's international director, but then you get to know her, and later on I found out that she took time to learn everyone's name before she ever got here. And we had a big chorus. I don't remember how many there were at that time, at least probably 75, 80. And for someone to take the time to know everybody's name, and she carried that through the whole time. She would know what's going on with people. She would visit them in hospitals and ask them about their families, and she just took a personal interest in every one of the members, which was amazing because we didn't even always remember each other's names. And she was just like that. I'd watch her speak in front of thousands of people, you know, at an international. That didn't seem to bother her at all. And then she could be one-on-one, just really personal.
She was a competitor, too.
She was.
I felt she led by example. She demanded
not perfection, but she demanded that you be the best you can be. How would you describe her competitive nature?
She set goals and expectations higher than we even thought of. And through her guidance and directing, she raised us up to those. Before she came, we had been at International, maybe 24th or 26th, I don't remember. And, you know, she said we can make the top 10, and we did. That was a dream, but we didn't think it was possible. And she was a planner. She could plan out 3 to 5 years. We knew what coaches were coming, and she had a plan for everything. And, you know, we finally reached fifth place International, and it was amazing. I mean, we were in the top 10 quite a few times, but...
Tell me a little bit about the Velvet Hills course. How long has it been in existence?
We had our 50-year anniversary, and I'm trying to think if that was 2 years ago, but we're over 50 years old. And it's always been a pretty caring course, but I would say the culture, especially with Kathy directing, people walk in and they feel welcomed. We've had visitor after visitor say, you know, I just could feel it when I walked in that this was a friendly place and that they felt good about it. And many people come up and say things to them. Even Darren Drown, our new director, said that was one of the reasons he chose us to direct, because of the culture and the warmth and the friendliness. And he wants to maintain that. He felt like Kathy had set that culture for the chorus.
What's a story you can tell me about Kathy that comes to your mind?
It was amazing all the times that she did not mind dressing up in costumes. She loved dressing up. And one night we were having, I don't know if it was a Halloween thing or whatever, and she came dressed as a Kiss character with the black and white paint. She didn't say anything, and nobody knew who it was. And she loved to just pretend and be somebody else. She didn't mind if they made her face old and wrinkled, or as long as she could be the character, and she seemed to always steal the show. Some things that people might not know about her is that she loved driving a convertible. She loved to put the top down, and it wasn't but about 6 weeks ago we were going up to Cripple Creek, and this guy drives up beside us, and you know, a young guy, and looks at her and wants to race. She just brings the best out in people. And I don't know if people know that Kathy was a pool shark. We were in a place and they had a pool table, so we started shooting pool, and she could beat me hands down, but it just seemed like anything she took on, she was really good at. After she retired, she learned to play guitar. She took guitar lessons and went up and played with her buddies at Hope in Alaska. She and I went and played for her 107-year-old friend in Montana. And within the last year, she took on paint by number. And it's not the old paint by number that we know, but you send a picture in and they draw it out and then send it back to you with all the paints and everything. So she was always just after some new thing that she wanted to accomplish. She didn't ever sit still.
What's something that you're going to miss about her?
Ooh, that's a hard one. Just her friendship. Kathy and I talked about every day. And she was one that I could always call up, and on the spur of the moment, she was willing to go to the movies or out to dinner. Every time we left, we hugged. I feel like made me a better person.
Kathy was a woman of faith, and I thought it was interesting how you said there was a calm about her, you know, latter days.
She had all the normal reactions that you do when, you know that your time is coming and not, you know, it's not too long. But she made a peace with herself, and she just had a calm, and she said, I know where I'm going. There were different times she said, this is kind of strange, but her faith was going to take her there, and if that's what God had planned for, then she was ready.
Thank you.
So that's our Big Alaska Show tribute to Kathy Carmody. And Uncle Steve, I just want to say I'm sorry for your loss. She was a very good friend of yours.
Thanks, Mike. It was great to share memories of this very special woman through the eyes of all these people we've met that we would never have met had not been for Kathy Carmody. There's a tradition that Sweet Adeline choruses around the world close their evening's chorus rehearsals with a song. Women stand holding hands as they sing. Their smiles and voices express the love, the joy, and the unity that brings a group of people from all over the world together that probably would never have met had it not been for this music. I fondly remember standing with an audience during the closing ceremonies at a Sweet Adeline International Convention. Standing and holding hands with people I'd never met, and singing along with thousands. And on stage, leading the crowd, there was my ninth grade English teacher from Central Junior High School, my director of my men's chorus, the Anchorage Midnight Suns, educator, mentor, coach, emotional rock, musical bon vivant, and my friend, Kathy Carmody, joyfully directing us and setting the example how we should perform it. The world is a better place because of Kathy Carmody, and while we deeply mourn our loss to her passing, Kathy's deep faith knew she would cross over to the other side to a new adventure, and knowing Kathy, impatient to get started coaching, because she knew even a heavenly chorus could stand a little improvement. Thank you, and Godspeed, Kathy Carmody.
So, that's our show. And what did we learn? Well, we learned that our teachers have an amazing impact on our lives, not just for the present, but for the rest of our lives, and teaching us you never quit before the magic happens. So a big shout out to all our teachers, and thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all you do. And to my baby girl, love you, and Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do?
All right, Uncle Steve, we'd like to thank you for joining us for this special tribute to Kathy Carmody, and we'd like to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. It's Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel, or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com. And Alaska Enterprise Solutions, they're your authorized Xerox sales agent for Alaska. Visit them anytime at aesalaska.com. Remember, if it's Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good lying three or two tall Alaska tales, it's got to be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.